And here at New Hope, we're starting with an idea, a mentality that we want to put first things first, right? And we're talking about spiritual growth. Now, because of the length of the gathering this morning, because we got to celebrate that, isn't that awesome? Tim's got to preach fast. Everybody ready? All right. So you've got some notes. Everybody sat on something, or you picked it up before you sat down. We'll get to that here in just a little bit, so you understand what we're doing here at New Hope. See, we start the year here at New Hope every year with a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're very intentional about what we do, going deep in our relationship with God. I mean, the new year is kind of a time to start new things, and it is a good time to go back to maybe old things you stopped doing that were good. You know, like, it is a good, like, okay, here was a finish line of the year. Here's a starting line for the next year. What do I want to change and grow in? And for us, we're talking spiritual stuff. The key word here is new. Everybody say that word with me. New, all right? We want to experience something new. This is a great psalm for us to think of as we're starting this morning. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. That's the way I want to start 2022. God, in the morning, here I am. Here's what's on my heart. Here's what's going on in my life. And now I wait expectantly. I want to see God do something. I want to see him show up. And that's what we want to do in this season. We want to wait expectantly. We want to have a season to grow in our faith. We want to become disconnected from the things of this world that drag us to places we shouldn't go and be more connected to the God who pulls us into heavenly things, into the promises he has for us. That is what we want to do at New Hope. Is everybody ready for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I got my front row cheerleaders, all right? I need my back row cheerleaders who come late. You all are late goat, all right? Or you take the ropes down before we say you're allowed to. I see you, all right? So welcome to New Hope, all of you front to back, all right? We're going to be all in this together. We're going to have some fun and encouragement and energy. Now, 2022 for us here at New Hope, this is what we are calling the year in the Word, okay? So 2022 for us, we want to teach you to get into God's Word. That means our Sunday morning gatherings, starting in February, we're going to be going through books of the Bible all year long, okay? So that's going to be our sermon. It's going to be Galatians, all right? So once we hit February through Easter, we're going through the book of Galatians together as a church family, and we're going to teach you how to dig into a book of the Bible. How do you do that? What does that look like? Of course, I preach the way I preach, so you're going to get practical stuff too, all right? You're going to be like, okay, how does that fit in my life, and what do I need to do because of that? But we're doing that. So year in the Word. And last week when I said that, all of you got excited. Are you excited about that idea?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? All right. So good, because that's what we're doing. So yeah. So let me jump into this morning. This is a very practical teaching this morning, so it's just going to be like bam, 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 okay? But let me ask you a question first as we kind of are thinking about what we're heading towards. Now, has there ever been something in your life that you wanted really, really bad? Like something that, like, kind of consumed your thoughts at some point, you know, and it could have been big or small. It could have been a new fishing rod. Like, we got any people that fish? These people spend a lot of money on a fishing rod, right? Like, I'm like, holy cow. And okay, not many in here. All right, so let me, maybe a house. You started dreaming about a house, like wanting to get a house or, you know, move into a house. And so what do? You start researching. You go online. You start looking at places. You start looking at budget and finance. You start investing your time, your emotions, your energy into trying to find that thing. Maybe when you were a kid. I remember when I was a kid, the big thing was I couldn't wait to have a bike, right? Like, a bike meant freedom as a kid. These days, kids don't, like, just ride around the neighborhoods anymore, right? When I was a kid, I was everywhere. My parents didn't know where I was. I was everywhere. That's where I was. I was on my bike because my bike was freedom, and I couldn't wait to get a bike, a mountain bike. Oh, a bike that had speed you could switch, right? Does anybody remember those days? Like, you move from, like, the, I got to pedal as fast as I can to keep up with my friends, and they're like, pew, and they're gone. It's like, I need something that can go click, click, click. You know, things like that. It's crazy, actually, this generation that's coming up underneath us. One of the most popular types of videos that people watch on YouTube are unboxing videos. Now, those of you who are older have no idea what I'm talking about, but all they do is sit around watching video after video of people opening things and showing what's inside. It's like, wow, like millions of views of somebody opening a phone. Ooh, like, I don't understand, because they're fascinated with something new, and so they'll do that. I really want this thing, I'm researching it, so I'm going to watch some unboxing videos of it, and if it's Legos, I'm going to watch somebody build it and put it together. Instead of you doing it yourself, you watch somebody else do it because you want to know how it works, right? So this kind of passion, this kind of thing of something that you personally really wanted, and it kind of consumed your thoughts, your ideas, and like your time and your energy and your emotions. Like, think about something like that just for a second. Because I think every single one of us have had those times of our life. And maybe you're going through it right now. It's a new year. Maybe there's some new things you're like, okay, how can I figure this out? I want us to have that exact same or even more of a passion for finding out about God. We can research and watch unboxing videos. Why don't we unbox God? Why don't we like have that same passion, desire to be like, I want to get into his word because I want to understand him. Like, I want to understand what he wants from me. I want to have that passion. And that's the thing we want for you to have in 2022. And for us, when we move into a season like this, a season of prayer and fasting, that's what we do. We go deeper with God. We set aside things that would distract us, set aside things that would like fill our emotions or even our body, food, that kind of thing. And we put on God. We put more time in our devotional life with God. We spend more time in prayer. We get way more intentional. And we see the results because of it when we do it the way God calls us to do it. We're going to get into a book of the Bible. I would encourage you, I'm going to give you a main point here, but go to Matthew chapter 6, okay? If you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you, bring your Bibles. So I might start making a gold star sticker chart on the back with your name on it, and so you can get something at the end of the month if there's 4-star stickers, all right? It works for fourth graders. It can work for adults, I believe. I think we need some help. So bring your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to get there in just a minute, okay? But this is what I want us to understand about fasting as we start today. That fasting, going into a season of putting something off and putting God on in a deeper way, fasting is opening yourself up to God's movement in your life and circumstances. That's what prayer and fasting does. You open yourself up to something that God would want to do to move in you, in your life, in circumstances, in a real way. And so today, I want to teach you the why and the how to do it then. Because we were in our teaching team this last week, and I'm like, okay, I preached on fasting, and let's keep moving forward. And they're like, you didn't teach on fasting, Tim. You like dangled it out there, and some people are like, I still don't understand like what he's talking about and what that looks like. And so they encouraged me to say, go deeper. Let's get very practical on how to do this. That's why we printed something and handed it to you, so you have some homework, all right, so that we can actually do this together. We see in the scriptures that fasting, this idea of fasting, is mentioned over 70 times throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. It's in there quite a bit. And we see it as a habit. We see it done in seasons. We see it done in different circumstances. And in the Old Testament, a lot of it was wrapped around the idea of repentance. So the Israelites would have a relationship with God, and they'd be walking in his law, and everything was good, and then they'd get distracted by something shiny over here in another nation or another god that they would add, and they'd worship that god and their god. It's called idolatry and all sorts of things. And they would walk away from God, and then all of a sudden God would say, I am walking away from you then. You don't get my protection. You don't get my promises. You miss out because you walked away from me. And then they'd finally realize we are in a very bad place, repent, and then go back to God. Has anybody ever done that in their life? Just wondering, right? Okay, we are just like Israel. Like we have these same propensities to sin in our life. And so they would say, we're going to repent and we're going to fast in this season to come back to God. Because they're showing their earnestness, the importance of what they're doing in repentance to God. And there would also be seasons, it would be asking for God's movement. They want to see God answer something. Like the book of Daniel. Daniel sees a vision and he doesn't understand it, and he prays and fasts and asks God, help me understand. I need your understanding. I want to see your movement. You can fast and pray for healing. We see in the New Testament for spiritual warfare. Like we see that there was a demon inside of a child that wasn't going to come out by the disciples. It's saying, get out of there in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, no, this one only comes out with prayer and fasting. This one takes a deeper spiritual walk with your Heavenly Father to see some action in the spiritual warfare. We see in the New Testament, leaders would pray and fast to choose other leaders to send them out. Paul and Barnabas were sent after prayer and fasting. The Holy Spirit affirmed and confirmed, sent them out, right? Aligning with God's will. That's the heartbeat of a season of fasting. It's getting serious with God. Say, God, I know I've had my will. I've been doing my things. Help me see what you want me to be a part of in this kingdom of heaven on earth, to align with God's will. So we have these main ideas of why or the circumstances that people would go to seasons of fasting, but I want us to understand the heartbeat behind it and what Jesus says about it, okay? So I could spend a lot of time in a lot of different scriptures, but I think when Jesus talks about it, like we should be like, okay, what is he saying about this? What are we supposed to do in this, okay? So who's with me in Matthew chapter 6? Yep, okay. So Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples and a crowd, actually, and he's preaching, and he's helping them understand the kingdom of heaven in this long sermon. So in this sermon, in Matthew chapter 6, he gets into some very practical points. He talks about prayer and giving, all this kind of stuff, and he talks about fasting. And when he's teaching this, he's actually showing some of the spiritual habits that we, as Christ followers today, should be walking into, that these should just be a part of our life. They were actually, when you read it, they were assumptions of those that were religious in his time when Jesus was teaching this. And so we're going to start at the very first part, and he's challenging them, okay? He says this in Matthew 6, starting verse 1. He says to this, Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Now he explains what he's talking about. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So he starts teaching this is the kingdom of heaven, and this is the way people roll, right? He's like, don't be like the priests. Don't be like those who want to be seen as religious and as better than and as holier than thou, and like, we got it figured out, but y'all don't, so we're going to do our thing. He's like, when you give, do you hear how that sentence starts? When you give. He's given the assumption that as a discipline, you're a giver. Like, that's just a part of being in a relationship with God. Like, you live open-handed. That's a spiritual habit that Jesus is like, this is just how you do it. So when you do it, not if you do it, when you do it, don't do it for show. Don't do it, like, we are a video-driven culture, right? Like, it runs and rules our culture because we all have access 24/7 to any video we ever want to see in our pockets and on our TVs and wherever. We can stream it anytime. And it's crazy to me when I see, like, Christians shooting videos of themselves doing something good for somebody else, and they're saying, yay, I did something good, and then they put a Bible verse at the end, and I'm like, Jesus told you not to do that. Like, because you just received a reward for that good deed. And it's just the amount of views you get and people that say, wow, that was neat. There was no heavenly deposit with that action. It was earthly. You with me? And so he says, don't be like them. When you give, do it privately. Do it secretly. Do it in a way to those that receive that gift that you wouldn't even get any glory for it, but God is the one that gets the glory for it. Then he moves on to something else, and he says in verse 5, he says, so when you pray, say that with me, when you pray, he's assuming you're going to pray. Now, if you pray, it's like, when you do this, when you pray. So Jesus is assuming, as a believer, that's what we're doing. Prayer is just a normal life. He says, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. He repeats it. So they pray in the public so that they can get rewarded publicly. Look at me, I'm holy, I'm godly. He says, well, that's all you're getting, because that was not a deposit in heaven. You deposited that on earth, so that's the only reward you receive. You with me? Everybody with me? Okay, so this, he's like, I love how Jesus didn't pull punches. Like, he's like, heaven, earth. Fasting is us getting more disconnected from earth and more connected with heaven. That's what fasting is. So we're giving, we're praying, and then he gets to verse 16. Whenever you fast, say this one with me. Whenever you fast, he's assuming this is a spiritual habit and discipline that believers are doing, right? Not if you fast, or if someday you try that one time, or if you fast for a diet so you lose weight. Like, that's not what we're talking about, okay? There may be physical benefits in the end, but that's not why we're doing it, okay? He says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Repeat, right? He's giving the same thing. Spiritual disciplines aren't for public consumption. They're for private obedience. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is about your heart and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So when you fast, how do I say this? Don't post it on Facebook. Hey, I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm doing this new thing. Yay you. You know, like that's, he's saying don't do that. It's like, if you do it, and then he teaches us how to do it, okay? So let's keep reading. But you, us, so we're not like the hypocrites. Amen? Amen. All right, let's not be hypocrites. He says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Very practical, right? So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by who? Your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's the only part where he says that's where the reward comes. That's where God shows up. That's where heaven comes to earth in our life. And it's not public reward, because that's useless. It's spiritual reward with you and your Heavenly Father. I tell you what, I will take, like, think about your earthly relationships. And like, I'm thinking about my relationship with my own dad. If my dad takes me aside and privately says to me one-on-one, I'm so proud of you. I love you. I'm so excited for what God's doing in you. Oh, that's just an earthly relationship that, man, would fill me up. And he says, no, that's what it looks like with your Heavenly Father. Between you and him, and he sees you and he says, I love you. I'm for you. I see what you're doing and how earnest you are being in this season. I want to be with you and reward you. Nobody else needs to know about it. There's this heartbeat behind seasons of prayer and fasting. It's not for public. It's not for dieting. It's not for what you get out of it. It's for you to have a deeper, more personal connection and relationship with this Heavenly Father who loves you and wants to see what you're doing and wants to reward you in private, okay? Is everybody with me on that? Do you see the tension between the two? So we are moving into this season of fasting. We're moving into what Jesus is asking us and assumes as Christ followers we will be doing, and we're doing it for 21 days. Now you're thinking, well, if I'm supposed to do it in private, why are you announcing to all of us to do it, Tim, right? It's like, I don't need to know the details of what you're doing, okay? I'm here to teach you how to do it, and then I'm giving you some tools how to do it, and then now it's between you and Jesus, okay? I don't need to know. We don't need to know. We want you and God to know what you're doing and the promises that you're walking into, okay? So let's get very practical in this, and I'm going to teach you the three parts to fasting, and this is where you want to fill in the blanks, all right? Three parts to fasting, how you do it. The why is because God wants a relationship with us. And we want to do it privately to connect with the kingdom of heaven and let his will be done in our life. The how, three parts, okay? Now, this is the definition I've used. I've repeated over and over and over again, but this is how I define fasting. Fasting is setting things aside for a season that normally feeds our body or our soul in order to focus on and feed our spirit. See, we are created body, soul, and spirit. We are triune beings. All three parts of those were created by our Heavenly Father. And our body, our soul, and our spirit, all three want things from us. Like, and we want to invest in all three parts of who we are, our body, our soul, and our spirit. We want to invest in our body. We want to be physically healthy. We want to take care of this thing that we have while we're here, right? And we do things to do that. Hunger is a part of that. Our body tells us it's time to eat, or it's time not to eat, or it's, you know, it tells us stuff. Our soul is our emotional part of our being. That's the relationships that connect us with other people. So our body connects us with us, because that's the only thing we have that's us. Our soul connects us with others, and so that's how we relate. That's how we emote. That's how we experience relationship with others. And then our spirit connects us with the Spirit of God. That's the eternal part of who we are. And so in this season, we set aside some things that would feed our body normally or feed our emotions or our relational emotional side, and instead we use that energy and time to feed our spirit, our relationship with God, okay? We express our commitment in our pursuit of God through faith, sacrifice, and prayer. It's that secret part. It's like we're showing him we're in this and we're serious about it. And he shows up and shows us favor in that process. So three parts. The first part of fasting is sacrifice, okay? Is sacrifice. It's giving something up that either feeds your body or your soul emotionally. And we see in Scripture, it's mostly about food and with fasting. I believe it can be food or it can be media, it can be other things, okay? So this is a part of us putting off something in our life so we can put on God, okay? We see in the book of Daniel, I think it's Daniel chapter 10, you may correct me if I'm wrong on that, but in Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel gets a vision from God, a prophecy. He doesn't know what it means, and he's stressed out. He's like, what does this mean? And he chooses to fast from choice meats and certain foods to show God, I'm serious here. So I'm not going to eat those fancy things, and I'm going to pray and ask you, would you move? Help me understand. Show me what this means. And so he does that for that season until an angel shows up and gives him an answer. He fasts from those things, shows God's earnesty, and it says, Daniel, your word, the moment you spoke it, went to heaven. And then the angel says, and I've been trying to get to you for 21 days because he's been in spiritual battle somewhere else. There's this whole spiritual one we don't see or understand. I mean, we see pockets that we can understand when we read the scriptures and really get into what is going on in the angelic realm and the demonic realm. Like, there are real things happening. But there are things that we can't see. So when we start fasting, we need to trust, just as Daniel, my word is going to heaven. It's getting to the throne room. Excuse me. And God is seeing the earnestness of my heart. Okay, that was for another thing. All right, so Daniel. So this is what you may choose to sacrifice. You may choose to sacrifice certain meals throughout a week, right? So you make a commitment decision. I'm going to fast lunch Mondays through Thursdays. And instead of eating lunch, I'm going to fast during that time. And instead, you're putting off something that would feed your body. Instead, I'm going to go to my car and sit in my car, and I'm going to do my devotional. We're going to give you some Bible reading. And I'm going to pray about the things that I'm making a commitment to pray about. And so you make that commitment. I'm fasting from those lunches, and then those times I'm going to eat, or I'm not going to eat, and I'm going to spend that time spiritually. So you can, do you see the put on and put off part? So you replace that with something spiritual in your life, a habit to go into. You may choose at this season, it might be a good time to fast from certain types of foods. It may be a good time to fast from sweets and meats and things like that. Like what would normally draw you in that your body says, I want that, I want that, I want that, right? Sugar is a big one for me. Our family fasts from sugar. That's hard, right? Now, here's the thing. When you start fasting, especially from foods, you're going to get grumpy. I just wanted to get real with you. And you're going to have to deal with that, and you're going to have to choose joy, all right? You say, God, I'm grumpy, but I got Jesus, right? And say, oh, here we go, all right? Those of you who give up coffee because you're addicted to it, you may be extra grumpy, all right? And so you're going to have to choose, I can't talk to anybody before I have my cup of coffee. You got to fix that problem to begin with, right? So, like, because people all around you. So maybe that's a thing you need to fast from. In the mornings, I'm not going to drink coffee. I'm not going to go buy that coffee I normally would buy. That'll save you money, too. Financial tip from Pastor Tim, all right? And instead, give that to the church so we can actually do ministry, all right? So, like, some of you spend a lot of money on coffee. That's all I'm saying. Like, you give more to Starbucks than Jesus. I'm just, here we go. When you give. All right, so. Jesus, here we go. All right, so. But it may be something addictive like that. Maybe I'm not going to eat desserts and sweets during this whole season. Okay, do it. Make a commitment to God. And when you are craving it, that's a reminder. God, I really want that right now, and instead I'm going to pray. Instead, I'm going to use that what would distract me to actually bring me closer to you. That's what fasting is. So it can be meals. It can be certain meals throughout the week. I want you to make your own commitment on what that actually looks like, as complicated or as simple. We don't get legalistic around here on this, okay? We're not watching you. We're not doing it. Like, you make your commitment to God and then keep it. That's the in private thing, okay? And it could be for you, you're like, this is all new to me. I'm only fasting twice a week, and that's okay. And those two times a week are more than you have done before spiritually. Then do that. So whatever it is, make your commitment to fast from something. So that's the stuff that feeds our body. It could be stuff that feeds our soul, things that distract us emotionally. The things that we use to numb ourselves, to like escape from reality, like the binge watching of Netflix episodes or streaming or scrolling on social media, Facebook. Maybe for some of you it's news. News is always on. Maybe it's time to shut off the news, fast from that for 21 days. I'm telling you, you will be surprised how much peace enters into your life, how much contentment that can happen, and how much deeper you can go with God because you're not allowing the world to continually just fill your ears and fill your eyes. So maybe there's some media, maybe gaming. We got some gamers in the house. You game way too much, or maybe you don't. Maybe it's just something for a season. You're going, I'm not going to game during the season. And see what God does. What would you normally fill your emotional tank with that you can say, for a season, I'm setting it aside, and instead, you're putting on some devotional time, some quiet time, some prayer. Now, you can do this as a family as well. We always do it as a family. Tonight, we're going to sit down as a family, and we're going to do what I'm going to teach you how to do. And we're going to say, what do we need to be praying for? We're going to say, what are we fasting from? And each of us have our own commitments. And then we're going to keep those commitments, and we're going to then spend time throughout the week together as a family praying together. I'm telling you, a family that prays together stays together. A couple in your marriage, when you pray together, you stay together. Because you're for them, and they're for you, and you're lifting each other up to God who's saying, yes, that's my dream for you. There's power in that. Maybe for some of you, it is time to kick a bad addiction. This is where it gets really tricky. Like some of you smoke, and maybe this is the time for you to kick the cigars or cigarettes or whatever you smoke. Hopefully it's nothing beyond that, okay? Because those are super addictive. I've seen people during a season of fasting give up smoking, and they never went back to it. God can do supernatural things in the physical realm. Or maybe it's alcohol. For you, you just depend too much on something to numb you, some kind of other substance. Maybe for you it's chocolate. Right? There's addictions that we all might have. Some of you might be sarcasm. It's a good time to fast from sarcasm. Right? Those of you who are very sarcastic people, everything you say, there's a hint of truth about what you're saying to the other person. And they're little jabs into that relationship that degrade trust. Sarcasm is a dangerous thing. Sometimes it's funny. It's hilarious. I get it. Let's have fun. But if that's your native tongue, maybe it's a time to fast from sarcasm. Love you in Jesus' name. All right. So sacrifice. Give up something. I got to go faster. Number two, second part is prayer, okay? Making requests known. So prayer is just that. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this. I am going to read a passage because I want you to understand the weight of what we have and the opportunity that we have. So we're putting something off, and now we're talking to God about something in our life, okay? This is what it says in Hebrews real quick. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all of us, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, amen? Like that's, Jesus opened up the holiest of holies for all of us, the very presence of God himself. And he says, since we have this by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body through Christ, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. When we are praying, that's what we're doing. This isn't like, God is good, God is great, thank you for, you know, it's like, this is like, God, thank you for allowing me to enter into your throne room and talk to you right now. That's the access you have. Prayer is taking your praise and your request directly to the throne room of heaven. Don't miss that. Netflix does not give you that access. Facebook does not give you that access. A cigarette does not give you that. Nothing else in this world gives you that access except for Jesus. And as Christ followers, we have that access to the throne room of heaven. I want you to feel the weight of prayer. It's a big deal. We get to bring our requests to God. Now, I'm doing grace and truth, okay? So here's truth. All right, we're going to do truth. I'm going to talk to the families in the room who have kids. If your kids never see you pray, they will never pray. Bottom line. Last week, I was talking to Chelsea, who leads our K through fifth grade group back there, and she was like doing this kind of quiz thing with them, and they were talking about prayer, and like, okay, kids, if you pray before meals, you know, go this side. If you've never done that, go over here. And it was like a where would you be kind of on the spectrum or whatever. And she did the one where, like, do you pray as a family? Everybody went to the no side. And then she's like, none of you pray? As if they're like, no. Like, do you pray before meals? Something simple. They all still stayed on the no side. And I went, these kids don't know how to pray. That breaks my heart as a pastor. And it should break your heart as a parent. Because they're not seeing you do it. Challenge during the season. You pray with your family every day. You pick a time, you pick a meal, you pick a whatever. If it's right before bed. And I'm going to tell you what to do in a moment. You're going to make a list together as a family what you want to pray for these next 21 days. And you're going to pray for it every night together. It doesn't have to be like... So Jesus said, when you pray, don't do it like the Pharisees. Don't do it like the hypocrites. Lord God in heaven, how thou have blah, blah, like that's all poop. Like, you just get real with your kids and say, God, I pray for Billy. His knee hurts. Heal his knee. That's not complicated. And the cool thing is the kingdom of heaven is open for that prayer. And your kids, when their knee stops hurting, and you'll be like, it worked. And they'd be like, I thought it would work. You said it would work. And the kids are like, we've got faith. You don't, Dad. You don't, Mom. When we have faith like a child. Did you hear that in the testimonies, y'all? Yeah. When we have faith like a child, that we believe God can and will do anything, he chooses to move. Parents, during this season, please get out of your comfort zones. Pray simple prayers. It could be 3 minutes. It could be 10. I don't care what it is. Teach your kids to pray. If you have teenagers, same deal. They need to see you praying. Truth. All of us in the room, we need to be praying and not take this for granted, what we've been given. So, you guys have that sheet, right? That sheet that was on your chair, this thing, okay? Everybody pull that out real quick. I'm going long. So if you're hungry, start praying. All right. So you can see step 3 on the back of the sheet says, create a prayer list. Today, I would like for you, either personally or if you're a family, I would encourage you to do this as a family. Sit down for 10 minutes and go over these things on this back. On the bottom, it says prayer list. You might need a separate sheet of paper. You might need a journal. You might need something else. And just, what do you want to see God do in your family? What do you want to see God do in your home? What do you want to see him do in your own life? At your work, in your relationships, in your friendships, maybe physically, in your body? Do you want to see God bring healing to something? Maybe emotionally? And make the list. Say, if God would do these things, wow. Wow. Now, we're going to teach over the next number of weeks how God answers. And we're going to talk more about the red light, yellow light, green light prayers again as we go through this, because sometimes the answer is not now. Not yet. Sometimes it's, I'm working on things. It's going to take some time. And sometimes it's a green light, and he goes, yeah, amen, I'm with that one. And it just happens. So we have to trust God in this process. But make your list. What are you going to pray for during this season? And pick specific times to do it. Okay. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
All right. And then part 3 is scripture, putting on truth. All right, so we're putting off the world. We want to put on truth. We want to spend time in God's word during this season. So we're sacrificing something. We're choosing to pray about things, and we're getting into God's word. We're reading. So you will see on the front of that paper that you just looked at, there are scriptures. There's a list of 21 scriptures. Instead of us giving you a full-blown devotional with like lots of stuff in it, we said we just want them to be in the Bible. If this is going to be year in the Word, let's teach them how to get into the Word. And so every day during the 21 days, there's just one passage that you're going to read, and we want you to do the SOAP method, okay? And it's very easy. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. It explains exactly how to do it on this sheet, okay? It's very simple. You read a passage that we gave you. That scripture, observation, you write down just one thing that pops out at you. It could be even just one word, like that word just for some reason stuck out to me. And the key in this is asking the Holy Spirit to show you, because he will reveal something in every scripture we read, because he's in every scripture we read. All right, so we write down one thing, application. So what does that mean for me today? What do I need to do because of that today? Okay? That's, you apply it to your life. And then P is prayer, which is what we already said. Then pray through your list. This is why I'm praying for my kids. This is why I'm praying for my spouse. This is why I'm praying for my home, for my church, for my whatever. And then you just go through your list and ask God. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be these, thous, and those, and thous. And like, I don't pray that way, y'all. So like, that sounded self, like, no. I wasn't saying like, so do it the way I do it. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Just be simple with your prayers. They don't have to be complicated. You say, God, here's my list. Please move in. And you just read it to him. Here's my list, God. It can be that simple. Okay? So get into the word during the season and start a habit. Now, this is what I want you to do. Number one, for this season, I want you to pick a time and a location every day to do this. Pick a time, so it's got to be on your calendar or it's not going to happen. Pick a location. Where are you going to do this? Do you have a room where you can be by yourself quiet? Do you need to go to your car and fast during lunch? Do you need to, like, where can you actually do this? Pick a location to do it. Two, pray. Holy Spirit, speak and work. That's a powerful prayer. Before you open the Bible, Holy Spirit, speak and work. And he will. And then do the SOAP method and go through these 21 scriptures together. If you want to go deeper into something, I found this tool. It's an awesome tool. You can use it if you want to. It's BibleInOneYear.org. It's from a couple called Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, and that's the just coolest name ever. But they're in England, in London, I believe, and they're pastors there. And they started this in 2019, I think. Every day they go through and give you the verses to read so you can get through the entire Bible in 1 year. And they have two versions of it, and there's an app, all sorts of cool tools. If you want to go deeper into that, you can go to BibleInOneYear.org, and you can go deeper into that, okay? But I want you to do these things to pick a time. So, one last time. Everybody look at the back of this sheet. Today, at some point, step number one, set your objective, right? Why are you fasting? What is your spiritual goal? Write your objective down. Say, this is what I want to see. This is my objective. This is why I'm fasting. Step two, make your commitment. What are you going to fast from? And what time and location are you going to spend time with God? Make your commitment. And this is between you and God. And step three, write your prayer list. If you're a family, do it together. If it's you just want to do it by yourself, do it by yourself. Just make your list. So, one, two, three. I can't make it any simpler, okay? Now, no, that's all I got. Okay. Now do it. All right, so that's it. Just now, let's do it, okay? Are you guys with me in this? Okay, if you've never done this before, great time. Great time to give it a test. Give it a try. If you've done this before here at New Hope, great time to do it again. And at the end of this thing, of the season on the 30th, so it starts today, so it goes from the 9th to January 30th, at the end of our season of prayer and fasting together as a church, we're going to have a prayer and worship night here in this room. It's in your worship program. Mark your calendars. Join us for that. It's going to be time of testimony, too. Like, we're just did God do something? What has he done? So we can encourage each other. And some of us, it will be a pray through. So, like, we're going to end the fast, but we are still praying through the breakthrough, and that's okay. This isn't like one and done. This is the beginning of us pursuing God in this way, okay? So I would encourage you to mark that on your calendars and join us on the 30th for that time together. I'm going to pray over us. Nikki's going to give us some announcements here at the end, and we'll head out. So let's pray. God, thank you for the word. Thank you for the challenge, Jesus, that you've given us. When we give, when we pray, when we fast, that you challenge us to do this stuff. And you do it because you love us. And you want us to be with you and be in relationship with you. I pray that we would set our commitments as a church family, that we would make our decisions and that we would make discipline important. I pray, God, that if there's any sin issues that need to be broken and we need to be freed from, that we would do it during this season. We would see the miraculous. I want to see physical healings, God. I want to see spiritual, emotional things just breakthroughs. I want to see people more passionate about your word and more passionate about coming to your throne room, more passionate about the relationship with you. And I'm praying, God, would you do it? Would you show up? And I believe your answer is yes. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay.